But this is what it says. Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake, with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." And then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. And the disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture because of just so many things, or so many dynamics or waves. The other passage is, in the New Testament, it's recorded in the other Gospels as well. But the first thing I want us to see about this passage is they're in the middle of all of this that's going on, and they're going to go across the lake, basically the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is surrounded by mountains. Now, how many of you really, really enjoy the Santa Ana winds? You know? You ever notice that? And particularly if you get to be awake or outside when their first sort of gust front comes through. You know, the Santa Ana winds can just sort of start one day and start all of a sudden, and it's calm, and 5 minutes later you get 75 mile an hour gusts. Isn't that crazy? You know why that is? Because of the hills and the pressure of the hills and the wind coming down through the channels and through the canyons. And you can be in places in our valley where the Santa Ana winds don't affect you at all, but if you're coming down the 14 or over by the 5 or by one of these canyons, you're really going to get funneled. And it's the high pressure forcing the air through those canyons that causes the winds. They have a similar thing with the Sea of Galilee. It is it's basically a huge lake. They call it a sea, but it is surrounded by mountains. And you can get a high pressure system miles and miles away up past those mountains that causes the air to come through, and it channels down through those canyons and then hits the lake. And the lake is big enough that it develops surf. And it's not unknown even to this day for fishermen to be out on the lake in the Sea of Galilee. No clouds, clear blue sky, beautiful day, and 5 minutes later, this wind hits, and you got 15-foot waves breaking over your boat. It's big enough for the wind to drive the waves. And that's what you've got a picture as happening. And Jesus has had a couple of long days of preaching and teaching and doing miracles, and he was a man just like us. Okay? He was a man just like us. And so while he was God, he was still fully human. Fully God and fully human. And the Scriptures tell us there that at the end of all of this time, when he says, "Okay, we're done, going across the lake," he and the disciples got in the boat and they headed across the lake. And he was exhausted, and he fell asleep. Now, there's a lot of things that we want to pull out of this because it is so important. Luke records Jesus saying, "Let us cross over to the other side." Okay, you got to realize what he's doing. He's getting away from the crowd. He's getting away from all the mass, all these people, and the massive pressure to do all of these things. He's getting away from all of that. Going to go to the other side. Get away. He's tired, he's exhausted, and he and the disciples get in the boat. Now, he didn't say, "Let's cross over, we're going to have a wonderful day on the lake." You ever been invited to go out somebody on the lake or out on the ocean? I know Dennis does a lot of fishing and has a boat. And there are days you go out there and it's beautiful, isn't it? And then there are days you go out there and you fight against the sea the whole time. You know, he didn't promise that. He didn't say, "Hey, we're going to go have a great day on the lake. We're going to have a good time." He just said, "We're going to cross over, man. We're just going to get to the other side." It's a journey. It's not it's a destination thing. And they get in the boat, and they just got to sail. It's about 7 miles wide at that point. So they've got a little bit of a journey. And, you know, it's going to take a little while in the boat. He says, "Okay, these are going to take off. Just going to go get across. All they've got to do." He doesn't promise them anything except to get to the other side. And I always like that about this verse because, you know, we're going to draw allegories and draw conclusions and draw pictures from it. And one of the pictures we draw from this is when we come to Jesus, when you come to Jesus and you plant your flag with Jesus Christ, when you establish that relationship with Him in faith and in baptism, what He tells you is the promise that comes with salvation is basically the promise of heaven. Now, we read a lot into it, and we make a lot about how things are going to happen here. We almost make it like the big promise of salvation is about here. But it isn't about here. It's about heaven. And when we come to Jesus, it's like these guys getting in the boat with Jesus. We're going to cross over to the other side. We're going to get to the other side. And sometimes we need to remember that. Because sometimes we get so selfish and so narcissistic and so interpret the Scripture in such awful ways that we think that being saved is all about it all just going to be wonderful and smooth, and we're just going to have this nice sort of gliding sail across the lake. You know, and when you have a nice gliding sail across the lake, it's nice, but you don't learn nothing, you know, at all. It's just a nice, easy sail. Jesus doesn't promise that. He just promised we're going to get across the lake. So we're in this journey. So let me ask a question, you know, relevant to everything that's going on in all of our lives. How's the journey going? How's your journey going? Has it been smooth? You know, is it like, you know, like going across, you know, driving across, you know, going to Vegas where you're just driving on that big, nice freeway and it's just smooth, you know. You have hills and canyons, but you got these nice, long grades, you know. I don't think that's what life is. Life isn't about the freeways. When I owned my Jeep, we did a lot of Jeeping. We were up in the hills. I've been on all the dirt roads around here. I think that's what life is. Life is a dirt road thing. That the adventure begins at the end of the pavement, you know. That's where true learning begins. And for most of us, this journey through life isn't a smooth journey. You know, it's sort of a bumpy road, and it's a difficult road. And so the big question is two things. How's your journey going? For most of us, it's probably a pretty bumpy journey. The major question is, who are you in the boat with? See, the question is, are you in the boat with Jesus? See, the journey is going to be there, and the journey for everyone in this life, believer or non-believer, is going to be a tough journey. There's going to be good times, there's going to be bad times, there's going to be really difficult times, really wonderful times. That's not the issue. The issue is, who are you in the boat with? Who are you traveling with? See, these guys got in the boat with Jesus. He said, his disciples. Now, there were a lot of people on the shore, and there were probably even a lot of people who believed in Jesus on the shore. I think there's a lot of people in the world today that if you ask them about Jesus, they'll say, oh yeah, well, Jesus is the Son of God. You know, when I was 7, I prayed a prayer and I'm fine. There's nothing in their life that displays their being Christians. They think they are, but they're not in the boat with Jesus. They're not in the boat on the journey with him. They're not taking the journey with Jesus. They're not beside him and walking with him and going through it with him. They're just out there on their own. So we want to make sure, start off with, are we in the boat with Jesus? See, that's where we got to start here. Now, the next thing that happens is this storm comes up without warning. Scripture says, covering the boat with waves. Other versions say, filling up the boat, swamped and in the danger of sinking. Now, this boat was probably a pretty typical fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee. It was probably about 20-25 feet long. Had a 7-foot a beam at its widest point. So it's that sounds like it's big, but it's not. You know, it's not that big. And it used both oars and sail. It wasn't made for speed. It was made for work. It was made to sail out a little bit into the lake and fish and then come back. This was not a speedboat. It wasn't a beautiful, sleek sailing vessel. This was a work boat. And it was open. There was no cabin because you were constantly throwing the nets over the side and bringing them back. So there's no cabin. There's no shelter. There's nowhere you go, you know, in the boat. You're just out in the open. And this storm comes up. And waves on the Sea of Galilee have been recorded up to 20 to 25 feet in these extreme windstorms. Again, clear skies, no rain. No thunder, no anything. Just the wind hits that sea and it begins to churn up that sea, and those waves come. And these guys get about, you know, probably 3.5 miles out there in the middle of the lake. You know, at 3.5 miles, I mean, you can still see land. 3.5 miles, you can still see. They can still see the shore way off there in the distance. Maybe they're beginning to see the other shore, but they're sort of in the middle. And then within a half an hour, these winds come up, and the boat is being swamped. The waves are breaking over the boat. Just like that.
Just like that. Little sound effect there. Just like that, you know.
It hit without... Isn't that the way the life is? Isn't that it? One phone call, one car accident, one diagnosis. You know, you're going along fine, and then 5 minutes later, you're in the midst of it. It's not a slow approach. It's not one of these like a hurricane where, you know, the hurricane is out there and it's coming and it's coming and it's coming and you better get ready. It's coming. You better get ready. It's coming. It's like an earthquake. You're sitting there, and the next moment, the world is upside down. That's the way this was. And that's usually the way it is with life, isn't it? The storm comes, and it's right now. And you don't get to work up into it. You don't get to prepare for it. You just go from calm to being swamped that fast. And it's pretty overwhelming. That's the way life is. And, you know, and the storm can be everything from financial to, you know, hey, we're downsizing, you're out. It can be, you know, somebody that you love saying, I want a divorce. It can be, looks like cancer. It can be anything. And the thing about the storms is this. If you're not in one, I just had this vision hit my mind, being a Star Wars fan and fanatic. I think it's the second Star Wars movie, and young Luke has landed on the jungle planet to be trained by Yoda, you know, grizzly little guy. And he gets to a point where he says, you're going to go down here. I want you to go down here. And Luke says, I'm not afraid. And Yoda looks at him and goes, you will be. You know? Yeah, you will be, you know. That's it. If you're not in a storm, you will be. Okay? It's part of the territory. This is a lost world. Full of sin and full of death. And if you're not in a storm now, you can remember the last storm you were in, and there's another storm coming. You don't know when. No, it's just part of life. Until we get to heaven, the storms are going to be there. Again, the question is, who are you in the boat with? See? That's what gets you through the storm, and we need to see that. Are we prepared? Every year, our city... the date jumps out on me around April 19th, but sometime in April, our city always has an emergency preparedness days. You know, are you prepared? It's been over 20 years. It's been 20 years since our last major earthquake in Southern California. Guess what that means? It's due. Are you ready? See, we can be as prepared as we can be, but it's always a shock when it comes. See? And we need to be ready. We need to understand that. You know, because so many times, you know, wow, didn't see that coming. You know, because it comes out of the blue and it comes from unexpected directions. The storms hit from all directions. Again, the question isn't whether the storms are going to hit. They are. The question is, who are you in the boat with? Are you on this journey with Jesus? Or are you out there just on your own? Now, picture a 25-foot boat, open book, no shelter, no cabin, sail, going along in the wind, trying to get across the lake, and the winds hit, and the waves start pouring into the boat, and it literally says it was swamped in danger of sinking. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have been in a boat, big boat, cruise ship, or a little tiny boat, in heavy surf and heavy wind, heavy seas? Did you sleep through that? You don't sleep through that, do you? Yeah, I said, I've been on a 22-foot sailboat in 12 to 15-foot swells. Yeah. in 12 to 14 foot swells on a 22 foot sailboat for several hours. We were out there. And there was no rest. You worked the whole time. You know, when there's, and can you imagine Jesus being so tired and so exhausted that they get in the boat and they start sailing a smooth sail, gentle rocking of the boat. That'll put you to sleep, you know. You get a nice little sailboat, that's sort of relaxing. So the attraction part of sailing, right? And he falls asleep. He's so exhausted. He's sort of curled up in the bow, and he's just exhausted. He's so asleep. And suddenly the winds hit, you know. And, you know, I was reading about this, and, you know, a lot of people say, well, the enemy attacked. Well, the enemy didn't attack. The winds hit. Okay? Not everything that happens to you is a result of the enemy at work. It doesn't have to be. Earthquakes are going to happen because of natural forces that came into play because of the sin, because of the flood, and what happened after the flood. That's not the enemy attacking. It's just what happens. We need to understand that. The winds hit, and the boat is being swamped, and Jesus is so exhausted that he is sleeping through it. That's one tired dude. Okay, we got to remember that about Jesus. That he was like us, going day by day, and he would get so tired that he was sleeping, you know. And the disciples that are in the boat with Jesus, think they're going to die. I mean, can you imagine the disciples, they've been knowing Jesus' name, he's raising people from the dead, he's healing lepers and giving blind sight, and people that can't hear can hear, and people that can't talk can talk, and people that can't walk can walk, and all this stuff is going on. People that are dead come back to life. All these miracles are taking place, and now they're out on this boat, and Jesus is so exhausted he's sleeping, and they think they're going to die. I mean, isn't that what happens? And I think their reaction's a natural reaction, isn't it? You hit these storms, and the first question is, you know, where was God on 9/11? Well, he was there crying. He was there brokenhearted over the evil of men. See? But that's the question. Where was God? What's going on here, Lord? You know, God, what? Are you asleep? You know, what's happening? We think that God is, you know, we get overwhelmed by the situation. That's what happened to the disciples. They were overwhelmed by the situation. They thought they were going to die. It was so bad and so immediate and so dangerous that they couldn't see anything else. And it's like, where's God? And Jesus was sleeping. Now, the thing you need to understand about this is, I don't particularly want you to think of Jesus sleeping in the boat when the storm hits. I want you to think of Jesus on the cross when the storm hit him. He's in control. And this gets portrayed so horribly sometimes. He's in control, even on the cross. He's there by choice. But it becomes so overwhelming that he quotes Psalm 22. He's quoting Scripture and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? God has not forsaken him. He is there by the will of God, to do the will of God because of the love of God. God has not forsaken him, but he's so overwhelmed by it that that is what he feels. And when you feel that, remember that Jesus. Jesus felt that too. Jesus felt that too. David says in Psalm 28, to you, O Lord, I call, O Lord, my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me, for if you remain silent, I will be like those who have gone down into the pit. David, who is a man after God's own heart, said, God, don't remain silent. I feel like nobody's listening. I just feel like I'm down. You know, if you don't think God is there, you're in the pits, right? David had it right. Said, I'm one of those who goes down in the pits. Now, if you don't take anything else from today, if you don't take anything else from today, I want you to take this. This is probably one of the most important concepts that we need to get and grab a hold of. That if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, when you share his death, burial, and resurrection and baptism, the Scripture says he forgives you and his Holy Spirit starts to live inside of you. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? Now, having said that, here's the point. God's presence in your life is not dependent on, or even related to, or even most of the time reflected in, how you feel. Because you're going to feel all alone. You're going to feel rejected and dejected. You're going to feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. You're going to feel alone. You're going to feel sometimes, you're going to feel everything that is bad and negative. But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God's presence in your life is there by promise and by covenant. It is not dependent upon the emotions of the moment. And one of the things that Scripture tells us to do as believers is not to live by the emotions of the moment, but to live by the covenant promise of God. I may not feel His presence, but that doesn't mean He isn't present. That just means that my switchboard is overloaded. I know in the digital age you don't get that. How many of you know what a switchboard is? How many of you don't know what a switchboard is? Oh, hey, we got one. Got a couple of you, younger guys. Okay. Used to be, when you made a telephone call, long even before my time, you would pick up the phone and you would get an operator. And you would say, connect me to TR-424. And the operator then would have this line plugged into your line. And she would take another line and plug it in to that line so that there was a direct connection. Now, all of that becomes automated and digitized later on. But for many, many years, if you made a phone call, you picked up the phone and there was an operator, and that operator had to physically connect, hardwire the lines from line to line. And every once in a while you would call, and there would be so many people making phone calls that the switchboard was full. It was overloaded. There was nowhere to plug in. And that's what happens to us emotionally. See, emotionally, you only have so many receivers. You know, you only have so many. I'm a football nut. You know, and on any given play, there's only five guys who are receivers. There's only five guys at any given time that you can pass a football to. And sometimes you see those quarterbacks go back and they're doing this number. They're looking around because all five guys are covered. He can't throw it. They're covered. He can't throw the ball. His receivers are overwhelmed. Emotions can overwhelm all of your sensory receivers so that all you can feel, all you can experience mentally and emotionally, and sometimes it's physical, is that fear or is that anger or is that frustration. Whatever that extreme emotion is, it overwhelms you. Let me tell you right now, you're in the boat with Jesus, God is there. His being there is not dependent upon your emotions. He realizes there are going to be times when you're overwhelmed. There are times when I'm overwhelmed. Doesn't change the fact that I will never leave you nor forsake you. That promise of God is a covenant promise that is real, whether we feel it or not. See, that's what we need to do. And believe me, in this situation, the apostles didn't feel it. They didn't feel the presence of God at all. Jesus is asleep in the boat. Jesus is right there. Jesus is closer, you know, as no further away than I am in from any of you. He's just asleep. And they wake him up. I mean, the boat is being swamped. And they have to go to Jesus and wake him. It says they shouted at him. The wind comes up and the waves are breaking over and it gets loud, it gets noisy, it gets confusing, it gets overwhelming. And they're screaming at Jesus, Jesus, don't you care? We're all going to die. I want to tell you something right now. If you're overwhelmed, believe it or not, it's okay to scream at God. He knows it's not about him. He knows it's about you being overwhelmed. They needed to scream at Jesus, not because Jesus needed their screaming to wake him up, but they needed to get it out. And Jesus wakes up. I love it. He wakes up. What are you guys worried about? What are you afraid of? You have so little faith. What are you afraid of? I mean, he's asleep. I think they forgot who they were in the boat with. And that's what happens. We get overwhelmed by the circumstances and the emotions, and we forget who we're in the boat with. And I don't want you to forget that. I want you to remember. That's the idea. There's a great story out of history, out of John Wesley. And when he was traveling from England to the United States, this is back in the days when all the boats were, you know, big sailing vessels and all of that stuff, big wooden sailing vessels. And he's on his way to minister in the Americas. And on the boat with him are some German Christians called Moravians. Moravians or Moravians. And they were a German group, and they were immigrating to the United States. And while they're in the middle of the Atlantic, they had a major, major storm hit the boat. And let me read you his account. So John Wesley was bound for Savannah, Georgia, to minister among the Americans. He happened to be on board a ship with a group of devout Christians from Germany called Moravians. He says, their calm during the storm made a great impression on him. Then on January 25th, 1736, a storm the ship encountered said every 10 minutes came a shock from the high seas that would dash against the stern or side of the ship. And every time one of these high seas hit the stern or side of the ship, they just thought the ship was an old wooden ship, was going to fall apart. So during the storm, these Germans were having a church service. And he described it in these words. He said in his journal, in the midst of a psalm wherein the service began, the sea broke over, split the mainsail in pieces, covered the ship, and poured between the decks as if the great deep had already swallowed us up. A terrible screaming began among the English, of whom Wesley was a part, and the Germans calmly sang on. I asked one of them afterwards, was you not afraid? And he answered, oh, I thank God, no. And I asked, but were not your women and children afraid? And he replied mildly, no, our women and children are in Christ. They're not afraid to die. And he noticed that the difference in the hour of trial between him that fears God and him that doesn't fear God was that sense of panic. Jesus says, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Why are you afraid? There's always a dynamic tension between faith and fear. Paul wrote to Timothy and said that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of faith and power. See, a spirit of love and a spirit of power. The spirit that God has given us is there to overcome the fear. But we live in that sort of dynamic tension, particularly as we get overwhelmed by the circumstances. It's not that we're supposed to go around and be untouched by the circumstances. It's impossible to be untouched by them. And we can be overwhelmed by them. But we must remember that there's always a choice to be made. There's always a choice to be made that we can trust the Lord, that we can come to God, and we can cry out to Him. And that we can come to Him in faith. Even when there's fear, we can come to Him in faith. You have the freedom to choose. See? You have the freedom to choose. Now, with that said, let me say this. You are free to choose. But you are not free ever from the consequences of your choices. Get that? You're free to choose, but you're never free from the consequences of your choices. That's why choosing faith is so important. You know? Who are you in the boat with? You know, that's the idea. Be in the boat with Jesus. That's the idea. Be in the boat with Jesus. I love Jesus' response. And it doesn't come across really well because the scripture uses, you know, scriptural words. You know, it says, you know, that Jesus, you know, got up and rebuked the wind and the wave, and it was still. And we read the word rebuke, and we think of rebuking somebody. You think of that as that way. But that's not the way it was. You've got to remember, this is an open boat. And Jesus is asleep, and however high the side of the boat was, the gunwale was, what Jesus did was they woke him up screaming, waves crashing over the boat. You know, sort of, you know, see somebody wake up and open that eye. You know, why are you afraid? You guys have so little faith. And he sits up, looks over, and says, peace be still. He doesn't, you see pictures of this. Peace, peace, you know, doesn't do that. He doesn't scream at the wind. Wednesday night we had a great Bible study. We were studying this passage of Scripture where they're on their way to Jerusalem where Jesus is going to die, and they pass by Jericho, and there's a blind guy sitting by the road. He's been born blind. He's been there his whole life as a beggar. And they're going by, and he can hear the crowd going by. He says, what's going on? He says, but Jesus of Nazareth is going by. And he starts crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David is a messianic term. So this guy's recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. And they tell him, be quiet. Don't bother the Messiah. And he just screams from the heart again. Jesus hears him. He says, bring him to me. And the very people who told him to be quiet come and say, hey, rejoice. Jesus wants to see you now. And they bring him to Jesus. And Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to die. And he looks at the guy and says, what do you want? What do you want me to do? He says, I want to see. And Jesus says, okay. Your faith has healed you, man. Receive your sight. And he goes on. Very casual. Now, the guy's response was not casual. The blind guy's approach wasn't casual. His response was not casual because he is overwhelmed in the moment. But Jesus is Jesus. He's the Son of God. Jesus' response was, oh, okay. Receive your sight. It was very casual. They're in the boat. They think the boat is going to sink. Their world is coming apart. They're screaming at Jesus. And Jesus, in a loose translation, is, oh, you guys, come on. Peace, be still. No wind, no waves. Immediately, calm sea. Two miracles, no wind, no waves. Two different things. Right then. Very casual. Now, the reason I say that is whatever storm we're in doesn't take God by surprise. And he's not going to panic. We panic. He doesn't panic. Jesus' response is very controlled. Jesus' response is very set by covenant. Jesus' response to our need is for him. I've used the word casual. Don't take that negatively. It's confident. You know? It's like being in a panic at work and you go to your supervisor, I don't know what to do. And the supervisor goes, it's okay. Come on. You know, it's just you have to do this, this, and this. Did that with Boy Scouts. You know, they'd be out on a campsite and they'd be all panicked about something. No, calmly, do this, this, this. Oh, okay. Somebody has to be calm. Somebody has to assume leadership. Somebody has to be in charge. That's what Jesus is. And even when we're overwhelmed by the circumstances of life, Jesus is calm, cool, collected, and ready to respond. We're overwhelmed. He's not. He just sort of, you know, you picture the gunwale of the boat, you know, and he just sort of peeks his eyes up, you know, ah, peace, be still. Goes back to sleep. He's there. And that's powerful. We need to see that. They need to see that. And what it ends up with is, it says that the disciples were amazed. And the word they use is a powerful word. They were afraid of dying. They were afraid of the storm. He calms the storm. Now they're afraid of him. You see, they got in the boat with Jesus, the Nazarene. They got in the boat with Jesus, who probably is the Messiah. They got in the boat with the promised Redeemer of Israel. They got out of the boat with Creator God in the flesh, who controls everything, who can control everything, who immediately can stop the wind and the rain and the wind or whatever is there. And it was a tipping point for them to realize who they were in the boat with. Creator God. The storms are here. The storms are going to come. We're going to have wonderful times between the storms, but every once in a while the storms are going to come. There's several of us going through storms. That's a given in life. They hit from all directions, when they hit directly and indirectly, who are you in the boat with? Choose to remember Jesus. He's not panicked. He's not overcome with the emotion that we are. And we are. I get that. I am at times. I have been this week at times. I was telling some of them that in things that happened on Wednesday or Thursday, I reached a point, and I was there for 2.5 hours. Literally, 2.5 hours. I reached a point where I stopped talking because I was so angry and so frustrated that if I had said one more word, I would have exploded and hurt people who had nothing to do with the situation. And I just stopped right there. I couldn't back away from it, but I couldn't go forward. Kathy said, it's the third time in 31 years she's seen me at that point. Because I don't go there. I was overwhelmed. God wasn't. It took a little while, but it all got worked out. I just had to hang on. I couldn't open my mouth. Because if I had opened my mouth, I would have been in the boat with those disciples screaming in the face of Jesus. And that's who I would have been screaming at. Because there was nobody around me who was responsible for what had happened. Sometimes, it's just a matter of hanging on and trusting. Taking the next step. Taking the next step. Taking the next step. Jesus is going to raise up. He's going to raise up his head. He's going to calmly look at our storms. And there's going to be a point where he's going to say, okay, peace be still. I'm here. Guys, don't you remember who you're with? Who are you in the boat with? This morning, be in the boat with Jesus. Be on the journey with him. There was a lot of believers on the shore, but they weren't in the boat. Our job is to be in the boat. Because if we're in the boat, it doesn't matter how bad the storm gets, we're in the boat with God. And he's promised us the far shore. That's what he's promised us. He doesn't promise us a smooth journey. He promised us a far shore. And he'll get us there. Father God, thank you. Jesus went through this storm with these guys and reassured them of God's presence and his peace. And this prepared him to go through the storm that he went through, starting in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he took our sin upon himself and then went to the beating and the death on the cross. Took our sin, our guilt, our shame when he was sinless. And he felt overwhelmed and cried out to God. See, if Jesus can cry out to you, Lord, we can too. Because we don't get it. We get overwhelmed. That's okay. You understand that. Doesn't change how you love us. Doesn't change your presence in our hearts. Doesn't change the covenant promises you made to us. Just sometimes we have to get past that and choose faith so that you can break through. Father, storms are here. Storms are coming. Some have passed. Some are just in the middle of that calm between the storms when everything is wonderful. Whatever the situation, this morning, Lord, help us to remember. Help us to be sure we're in the boat with Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen. We're going to sing one.